I'm Ed Rose, and this is a special edition of Citizen Kane. Today's program, available only on 101.7 WXCY Radio, remembers the ghost town of Grenier. According to a 1977 story by Alf Benson in the Kane Republican, Swedish immigrant Carl Grenier came to the Big Level in 1870 and made his home at Griffith's near Lance Corners. Blogger Jack Williams of Wanakena, New York, in a 2016 post, gave the following directions to Grenier's eponymous lost village. Take US 219 north from Lance Corners, about 2 miles, then turn left onto Mead Run Road. Take that to FR 186 and follow the forest road for 1.2 miles to a place where it intersects with a well-marked snowmobile trail. Follow the snowmobile route south along the former railroad grade until it veers back east and descends into the town, he wrote. Today you'll find that all that remains of the town are mere whispers of the past, tiny shards of pottery, glassware, perhaps a child's tarnished metal toy or two, buried under more than 100 years of moss, brambles, and underbrush. According to Jack Williams, the town of Grenier does not appear on any map. You can map quest it and come up with nothing. It once was a logging town with 65 homes and a large sawmill, centered around a logging pond. It was a straw fire of a place, active from about 1898 through 1903, Williams wrote. In his Kane Republican story, Alf Benson remembers the big hemlock logs that were left in the woods to rot, with only their bark taken off after the mill closed. The bark was worth more than the logs, Benson remembered. The old-timers used to tell you that you could buy timber at a mill for $4 a thousand if you hauled it yourself. I also remember how the gas used to leak from the line that came from the wells on the Grenier lot. The owner did not bother to repair the line but let it go. It would have been a good idea if the lumber company, when it cut the timber, would have been forced to reseed, as some of the responsible companies are doing today. Had this been done, there would have been a lot of timber to harvest today, Benson wrote. According to Benson, the Rich Lumber Company had its own railroad. It hauled the logs to the mill and lumber from the mill in Mount Jewett. It had one passenger car and 51 freight cars. With this South Branch train, as it was called, there were 7 trains running into Mount Jewett. No other community under 2,000 population in the state of Pennsylvania had so many different railroads, Benson reported. The massive deforestation of the hardwood forest that occurred in Grenier was not isolated to our neighboring woods. As companies like Rich Lumber built their mills, they also built homes for workers and businesses, most of which were dismantled and moved from town to town. When the village of Gardeau disappeared from the map in 1898, after its 7,000 acres had been picked clean, the settlement was moved lock, stock, and barrel to Grenier. In all, Grenier's more than 6,000 acres lasted less than 5 years in the face of giant lathes, pulp mills, and hungry saw blades. By 1903, the Rich Lumber Company pulled up stakes and dashed off for Wanakena, New York, in the Adirondacks. According to Jack Williams, if you visit the site of Old Grenier today, you'll find a broad clearing with the swampy remains of a pond. East of the pond is where the town's residential neighborhood stood, and if you pay attention, you'll see the telltale red pines standing in rows. The highlight of any trip to Grenier is the stone foundation of a large sawmill that was constructed in a small tributary to the Kinzu Creek. There are some old millstones. There also seems to be the silted-up remains of a canal. According to Wikipedia, in 1901, when future Pennsylvania Governor Gifford Pinchot's friend, Theodore Roosevelt, became president, the two shared the view that the federal government must act to regulate public lands and provide for the scientific management of public resources. In 1905, Roosevelt and Pinchot convinced Congress to establish the United States Forest Service, an agency charged with overseeing the country's forest reserves. As the first head of the Forest Service, Pinchot implemented a decentralized structure that empowered local civil servants to make decisions about conservation and forestry. Although it was too late for towns like Gardeau and Grenier, whose timber stands had already been swept from the map forever, the age of proper forestry management and conservation had begun. Well, that's all for now, friends. Please send your comments and story ideas to citizencanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.